Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 6. In verse 7, Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. It's funny how Jesus actually has to teach us everything. We can't really do anything apart from him. We may think that we can, but we really can't. In John 15:5, without him we can do absolutely nothing at all. And in verse 7 of Matthew 6, he's teaching his disciples to pray, and he says, when you pray, do not use vain, that is to say empty, repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they will be heard for their many words. Some people think that the longer they spend in prayer or the more times they say something, the stronger the effect, the greater the result, the more likely they are to get an answer. Not so. God heard you the first time. Now, yes, Jesus did make it clear with the unrighteous judge in that parable that we are to pray until we receive what we desire. But nevertheless, you don't have to keep saying the same thing over and over and over. It makes no difference. When you pray, don't use a lot of empty repetitions like the unbelievers. For they think they will be heard for their many words. In Ecclesiastes 5:3, many words are not a good idea, even in conversation under any circumstances. Sometimes people want to say a lot to show how much they know or how spiritual they are. But there it says in Ecclesiastes 5, a fool's voice is known by his many words. God is not complex. God doesn't like when we make things complex. God is very simple. The gospel is very simple. Faith is very simple. But people sometimes try to elevate themselves, perhaps to get respect, perhaps just to be taken seriously. Sometimes it is to manipulate. But whatever the reason, sometimes people try to elevate themselves by making things complicated. They just can't handle it if it's simple. They'll take something simple and they try to introduce something that God doesn't introduce to make it complicated. See how much I know. See what I can do. See how astute I am. I knew this. It's actually very complicated. No, that's the fool. The fool will take that which is simple and complicated. Why would I complicate the simple if I have wisdom? Why would I complicate, for example, salvation if I'm wise to try to include a whole bunch of words or things or acts or, I don't know, do the hokey pokey and turn yourself about and you get saved or something like that? Something stupid. But yet people will do that all the time. Young people, keep it simple. With God, you always keep it simple. Don't try to be something. Don't try to look like something. Don't try to pretend. Be straight up. Be simple. God knows the contents of your heart anyway. You don't have to pretend with God. You don't have to try to make it something that it isn't. You don't have to pretend to be more than you are. You don't have to make your situation more than it is. Or less for that matter. Just keep it simple. Be straight up and keep it simple. The old sin nature likes to complicate things. One of the telltale signs that somebody is living in the old sin nature is when you give them something very simple from the Word of God, and it's really very easy. Often it's a conviction, something maybe about sin, whatever. And they say, well, you know, it's really very complicated. No, it isn't. If it's complicated, you're involved where you shouldn't be. If it's complicated, there's way too much of you, there's way too little of God. God is not complicated. God doesn't do things in a complicated way. It was very simple. Jesus died on the cross. You believe in him as your Savior because he was God come down as a man to pay for our sins, to put them on his body, cleansed us by the blood. It's all very simple. It's not complicated. People say, well, I can't quite forgive. You see, it's very complicated, this situation. No, it's really very simple. You can forgive. You just don't want to. Your old sin nature is making it complicated. You can't just believe. It's very complicated. I can't just believe. No, yes, you really can just believe. God said it. You can believe it. Your old sin nature wants to make it complicated. There's a reason why I call it the sin nature. Because it's not operating in faith. It's operating in self-definition. It's operating in self-elevation. It's operating in self-promotion. It's operating in self-orientation. Nothing is simple about the old sin nature, and that's why God didn't try to fix it. He killed it. Don't try to fix what God wants to kill. He takes the old sin nature and he introduces the cross, and he says the old sin nature can die now. You don't have to live in it anymore. It's very simple. God's ways, God's thoughts, God's heart, everything about him and everything about your life with him is simple. God says it, I believe it. God says to do something, I do it. God says not to do something, I don't do it. It's very simple. Well, you don't understand. These are my desires. This is what I really want. Okay, you're in the way. That's why it's complicated. You're in the way. Keep it simple. Young people, keep it simple. Keep it simple. There will be a temptation from time to time to complicate things with God. It's not complicated. Now, the simplicity of God sometimes makes people feel uncomfortable because it does not spare the sin nature. It will introduce a cross into your life that will push aside your natural way of doing things. God desires to replace that with his supernatural life. Far better than your natural way of doing things. But people cling to the natural things because they're accustomed to them. Perhaps they don't know God. Perhaps they don't trust God well enough because they haven't been taught, maybe. For whatever reason, people cling to their old sin nature and it complicates things for them. God is extremely simple. He sent his word and healed them. People wonder, how in the world am I going to be healed? This is my circumstance. This is my past. This is what happened. Whatever it is, how in the world am I going to be healed? I'm so wounded. I'm all this stuff. He sent his word to heal them. Get into the word. It'll heal you. Simple as that. It's that simple. Well, I can't. You see, I have this capacity issue. No, you have a will issue. Get into the word and it'll heal you. It's not complicated. It's simple. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, I fear lest somehow the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 2:17, God told Adam, and by virtue of telling Adam, he also told Eve, who he created later, but Adam passed it on to her, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can eat of any tree, don't eat from that one. Simple. Pick your tree, eat from it, don't pick this tree. Easy enough. Why not that tree? In Ezekiel 31:18, that was Satan's tree. That's why not. Now, Eve had a very simple, very good thing going. So did Adam. But Satan came in, and the very first thing he says to her in Verse 1 of Genesis 3, and this is the original language, this is not the King James translation. He said, does it make any sense to you, Eve, that you should be able to eat from any tree in the garden, but not the best looking tree, not the best one. Does that make any sense to you? In doing that, he took away the simplicity of God's definition and he left it up to her understanding, her lack of understanding in reality. How could she understand? She did not have God's mind to work with. She had his definition. She had doctrine. She wasn't him. Does it make any sense to you? That's a very complex question. And because he brought in complexity where simplicity existed, he confused the matter for her, and then she went along with him because she was still simple in her thinking. She was not thinking, my pet snake is going to deceive me. She was not thinking, oh, there's danger in the garden. She was not thinking, oh, this guy's lying to me. She's never heard a lie before. Everything was simple, but all of a sudden it became complex. Satan will always take the simple and try to make it complex. Because in the complexity, he has a hiding place. But things with God are always simple. Yeah, God did say, does it make any sense to you, Eve? Her answer should have been, the Lord rebuke you. But instead, she went ahead and thought with it, and she got confused because the simple became complex. The same thing is happening nowadays. Are you a boy? Are you a girl? Now Satan is out there in public education in different places saying, oh, you can't be sure if you're a boy or a girl. Well, I don't know. That's the first time in history since you couldn't be sure whether you're a boy or a girl. Every animal on the planet knows that it is a male or a female. Every human being that has ever lived until this point knew whether they were a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. And now all of a sudden you don't know. Now there's more options. How did that happen? Satan came in and took the simple and made it complex. And with that complexity, and it's not really complex, it's still very simple. The genetics, your biology, which cannot be changed, that really defines it for you. I love asking a little kid, are you a boy or a girl? And the little kid knows. They don't have any question about it. They know. Such beautiful simplicity. And as a matter of fact, the question is so simple, they look at you like you're nuts for asking it. What do you mean, am I a boy or a girl? What kind of a silly question is that? I am whichever one they are. What kind of a silly question is that? That's simple. Can't you tell? But Satan says, well, maybe you can't tell. How do you feel? Oh, there's it. How do you feel? One of Satan's greatest tactics for complexity. Take away simplicity, make it complex by how do you feel? You know what? Nowhere in the Bible is anything at all defined by how you feel. Did you actually realize that in Habakkuk 2:4, how do you feel is a form of pride? Did you realize that God doesn't care how you feel? It makes no difference one way or another. If you respond to God, you'll feel good. If you don't respond to God, you'll feel lousy. That's how you'll feel. It's very simple. But Satan says, no, how does it make you feel? See, he does that. He'll take the simple, he makes it complex. In Acts 2:46, the disciples continued daily with gladness and simplicity of heart. They didn't try to complicate it. They knew who they had. They knew who they were. They knew what Jesus did. They saw him. They lived with him. They talked to him. Everything at this point was still very simple. But nowadays, we're in this difficult time. Nowadays, we're in perilous times. In 2 Timothy 3:1, in this time, perilous times have arrived. And there's all kinds of descriptions between verse 1 and verse 4 about what perilous times are like. But the perilous times are not so much for the unbeliever, but for the believer. Because in verse 5 there it says, they have an appearance of godliness, but they deny the power of that godliness. And then it says, to avoid such people. Now, how do we know that this is talking about Christians? Because in verse 7, they're always learning, but never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. They get into their Bible, they read all their books, they read everybody's opinion that you can think of. I ran into a guy one time, a few years ago, who was a Christian, and he fancied himself an expert on future events, especially on things like the rapture. And he told me, well, this one says this, and that one says this, and this is this view of it, and that's that view of it, and how do you think, oh, I'm a premillennial rapture, and oh, you're this current, this, all that. And I said, well, so which is it? He said, I don't know. Now, he knew what everybody had to say about it, but he didn't know what the truth was. Always learning, but never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Because the simplicity of the Word of God has been taken away. What is the power that's being denied of godliness? It's the simplicity of the cross. The simplicity of faith. The simplicity of the heart of God. And if I take away the simplicity, I'll never get to the truth because the truth is simple. Regarding the rapture, are you serious? God is going to punish his own body? Right? There's a school of thought that says the church has to be purified, so it has to go through the great tribulation. The church is purified by the blood and the word. It doesn't have to go through the tribulation. It's already been purified. John 15, Jesus says, you're pure already. You're cleansed already. The church is purified by the blood. The church is purified by the word. And that's the only thing that can purify it. The church already possesses that. The church is the body of Christ. The church is one new man with Jesus Christ. Why in the world is Jesus going to have to purify himself? Or why in the world is he going to have to chastise himself? That doesn't make any sense. But then making things complicated takes away good sense. Young people, keep it simple. Keep it simple. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not necessarily talking about salvation. It's talking about government. God's government is never going to be in control of your life if you don't keep it simple. The beautiful thing about children is that everything is so simple. And they're right, it is simple. Only later does it get complicated when people try to add things that don't belong there. And then they think it's complicated. No, it's really extremely simple. God said it, I believe it. That's pretty simple. God said to do something, I'll do it. That's simple. God said don't do it, I don't do it. That's simple. Just like a little kid. And then God is governmental in a person's life. Now here's the thing about simplicity. It does not allow for the preservation of self. God is not interested in sparing our self life. Because our self-life is what the enemy is using and the deception that we enter into because of the enemy. God is not looking for us to spare our self-life. God wants to give us his life. Now, just in case you were wondering, his life is far better than self-life. The quality of life, the confidence people have, what they can achieve, you name it. God's life is far, far superior to self-life, but people are used to the small and to the corrupt because that's human nature. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Those who are saved, the cross is God's power in their life. And it is. You see it all the time. If you experience it, you will know it in a heartbeat. It's very practical, very real. It's very effective, and it's very powerful. Through the cross, there's absolutely nothing you cannot do because you're living the life of God. But the notion of giving up yourself, well, isn't that foolish? Aren't you supposed to look out for number one? Aren't you supposed to take care of yourself? Aren't you supposed to follow your own heart? Aren't you supposed to do what you want to do and what makes you happy? How do you know what makes you happy? It's amazing how many people are pursuing happiness and they never find it. You know why? They don't know what makes them happy. The cross is where you find all the good things. But if you're lost and you're self-oriented, it doesn't make any sense to you. Why would I give up self for God? If you are saved and you do know the power of the cross, it also is like, why would I give up God for self? It's like taking a fortune and trading it for a penny. It doesn't make any sense. But human thinking is not simple. Human thinking is very complicated because it's corrupt. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's really very simple. I spoke with a person the other day, and it was really kind of interesting. They were asking me about being a pastor. And I told them that I had messages to prepare as a pastor, and that it took several hours to prepare a message. And they were completely puzzled by that. Like, why? It's right there. You just read it and then you talk about it, right? You tell them what you think about it. Not at all. I told her, if I do that, then I will be basically giving people a lot of gibberish. It'll be nonsense. There's no point to it. Because my opinion isn't any greater than anybody else's opinion. But if I tell them what the Word of God actually says, what it actually says, then I've given them something that's valuable. And this person wanted to know, well, and they were trying not to offend, but they wanted to know, well, how can you make any money doing that? And I said, it's not about money. I said, some people make money at it. Most people do not. It's not about money. Nobody who's really doing it is doing it for the money. And sometimes you make no money doing it. It's something different. And that to them seemed totally puzzling. You see, it's the foolishness in the world's eyes they can't get beyond. But to us, it's all the power of God. Now, I have no problem. I love actually preparing messages, preaching, delivering, being a pastor, and so on. I don't make a penny doing it. Why do I like it so much? Because God is flowing. Because God is talking. Because there's something that's tremendously valuable that the world doesn't understand. And it doesn't understand it not because it's such a complicated thing, but because it's such a simple thing. How can something that simple be that valuable? But it is. And God says it is. In verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 1, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. In verse 27, God chooses the foolish of the world to confound the wise. You could say it this way, God chooses the simple to confound the complex. But you know, anybody who actually knows anything at all can tell you simplicity is where the answers are. Albert Einstein, perhaps the greatest physicist of all time, that man figured out things that people just struggle with to this day. He figured out exactly how they work. He broke it down. He explained it. He completely defined it. Absolutely remarkably brilliant man. And he said this about it, and this is right along with the Word of God's principles. He says, the simple answer is the right one. It's exactly right. The simple answer is the right one. Why do you believe God? Because He's God, He can't lie. You trust the promises of God? How can you rely on the promises of God? You can't see God. Because they can't lie. Yeah, I trust the promises of God. I trust God. I trust the love of God. Very simple. Why? Because God says His love. God says every promise is yea and amen. God says faithful is He called you who will also do it. God says has He said it and shall He not do it? Yeah, I trust the promises of God. Why not? But you can't see Him. It's not that complicated. I don't need to see Him, I know Him. It's not that complicated. Folks, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Young people, if you want to have great success in your life, keep it simple. Even if you go outside in your application, I'm not saying that you leave God, you never leave God. For any reason whatsoever, you stay faithful, you stay true, you stay true to the Word of God, you stay faithful to your church, so on and so forth. But let's say that you're in an endeavor, and it's perfectly fine. Maybe you're in business, or maybe you're a lawyer, or going to school to be a lawyer, or a doctor, or a teacher, whatever it is that you find yourself doing. Always keep it simple. That's where your success will be found. A mechanic. How many mechanics out there lie to people? I've seen my share of them. And when I see it, I never return. And when I find a good, honest mechanic who'll tell it to me the way it is, I'll stick with them. Why? It's simple. You get a mechanic who knows the simplicity of simply doing a good job and being honest. And that person will get rich. Why? It's simple. Business in its end is simple. Do it right. Make people trust you. Because you do it right, be honest. And you'll do well. Keep it simple, young people. Whatever you find in your life to do, keep it simple. Go with the simple truths of the Word of God. Just keep it simple, and you cannot go wrong. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me so I can have eternal life with You. Amen.